Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast. This is episode number 72, and it is your pals, Mario and Brian. Mario, what's going on?
What up, everybody? This feels good to be in the studio again. We got little mics.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks since we've been in the studio, and we got these cool new mic stands, which are not tabletop ones, so we have the freedom to get close to the microphone.
Yeah, there's no bending and trying to get into it, or we're just like there.
Yeah, it's very professional-like. This is pretty cool.
More table space, like I can move my hands without hitting into stuff.
You can do those karate chop movements that you like to do, like, you know, when you get all aggressive and Donald Trump-like.
Well, I talk with my hands all the time, so I'm like hitting stuff over all the time. I'm like, you know, I don't want to hit the mic now.
Not no mo.
No mo.
Those days are over.
You get it right up in there.
Yeah. So I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. You know, last time we spoke, it was right before Thanksgiving, and now it's over, and there's Cyber Weeks things are going on. But more importantly, it's December, and that means everyone's going to start getting their turns in, which is a beautiful thing. And we want to thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Check us out, skibumpodcast.com. Check us out on all our social media links, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast. On Pinterest, we're Highfalutins. And if you could, please go to your favorite podcast apps and subscribe and rate us if you can. It would really help us get the word out to more people, and we would really appreciate that. So thank you very much.
And we've had feedback about people that have done that.
Yes, we've had several people reach out to us. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Ryan, for reaching out this week. Yeah, it's been really cool the last few weeks. We've had a bunch of people writing into us. So when we first started doing this, we never really knew if anyone would listen. You know, we just kind of did it because we, you know, we've talked about it before. We had a week up at the ski house, and there was one morning we just bullshitted for like 2-3 hours, and we're like, oh, it's like 11 o'clock. We should probably go out and go skiing now.
Like, that's a podcast.
Let's do a podcast. What the hell? See what happens. And yeah, people are starting to listen. So thank you guys. We really appreciate it. And without you guys, I don't know if we would keep doing it. We might. We are that crazy. We might keep doing it.
We'd keep doing it.
We'd probably keep doing it. Gives us an excuse to get together and have a couple drinks. And
well, you know, I love how Ryan wrote that he just typed this into Google, and he just typed Ski Bum Podcast, and boom, there we were.
Yeah, and that's when we first, you know, got the web URL for it, I put it in, and I'm like, I can't believe no one has done this yet. You know, because
There we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a weird thing to do, but yeah, it was available, and people are Googling it, and it's cool. So
the Christopher Columbus of podcast about skiing, drinking, and weed. Just saying.
Yeah, Are we the Lewis and Clark, or are we the Columbus?
I don't know.
What about the Cortez? No, that's kind of a rough ending, wasn't it? No, it was a good ending.
With the Elon Musk.
They burned the ships.
With the Elon Musk.
That's too soon. We need more historical, you know, reference,
I think.
With
the Aztecs. Chopping heads.
We're the Genghis motherfucking Khans Genghis of skiing podcasts.
I like that. We're the Genghis Khans of ski podcasts.
What's the stat about how many people on Earth have Genghis Khan's DNA in them? Isn't it like 10% or something? Like something crazy?
It's a lot. Yeah. He spread his seed.
Well, not only did he spread his seed, he slaughtered so many other people.
He did.
Non-seed recipients.
He's like, you're not going to get my seed. I'm just going to take you out.
That's the way to do it. And that's kind of how we're handling the ski podcast universe.
Without the cutting heads and the semen all over everything.
Virtual slaughter. Virtual digital slaughter. That's us.
That's it. I like that.
Digital slaughter.
We spit hot fire. All right. Now, along with the hot fire goes a little bit of something in our glass for a little...
I pray today. Yes. Well, we've gone through several beverages before getting this podcast rolling. Not all of the alcoholic variety. We had to get ourselves all jazzed up and had some terrible energy drinks before.
Break in case of emergency. We had to break in case of emergency. It's been a long week.
Powering through.
Had a little monster.
Oof. Yes. Oof.
Let the monster out.
So, Mario, what are you partaking in this evening?
I'm having the same thing that you're having, which is...
Oh!
Breckenridge. Oh, bourbon.
Yep. Oh, bourbon. Breckenridge Distillery. They put out a very, very lovely bourbon.
Bourbon whiskey, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
The young kids are calling it bourbon whiskey, I believe.
Yes.
But I love my bourbon. This is, how would you describe this? Have a little, with a few rocks.
Yeah, a couple rocks.
Sipping it.
It's nice. Smooth. It's smooth. It's, I don't know.
It's not too hot. It's not like a very alcoholic kind of.
It finishes light.
Finishes light.
Which is nice.
And it's good with a few rocks, get a little melt on it. It's got that. It doesn't have the peat, which is good. It has that sweet bourbony taste.
Yeah, I mean, it's, for me, this is the quintessential bourbon. You know, if you were looking for a nice high-end bourbon, and you can't go wrong with this one.
Looking at my,
it's absolutely great.
Looking at my bourbon firing squad there, I see a few others that I almost took today, and I was like, you know what? Ski season, it's getting right into it. It's crisp. We'll get a little Breckenridge will go good.
Absolutely. Yeah, thinking. I was partaking in the Wyoming whiskey on Thanksgiving.
Boom.
Which was pretty nice. That's how my in-laws roll. So
all places that are getting great snow now. So
yeah, I feel like just by bringing out the bourbons, starting to drink them, we unleashed Uller's wrath upon the mountains.
Release the Kraken.
Release the snow Kraken.
The snow Kraken.
Snow Kraken.
I like to draw that. I'm actually reading American Gods now.
Which American is just, Gods.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up. I gotta tell you about it.
Is there like a American Zeus?
It's like a modern day Thor.
Okay.
Pretty interesting. I'll let you know as we get a little.
Is there a diversity in our American gods?
I don't know.
Is like Rosa Parks the Riveter? Like, is she like one of the gods?
They don't go that far back.
No.
It's none of that. But yeah. So anyway, I'm thinking a snow Kraken would be kind of cool.
I like the snow Kraken. I'm a believer.
Believer?
Yeah, if you've seen the Abominable Snowman. How far away from that is the
that's right.
Snow Kraken?
Werewolf, why not?
Same thing.
Everybody believes in vampires.
Nowadays, yeah.
Snow vampire. Daylight snow vampire.
Only comes out when it's snowing?
Oh, and they do fucking crazy 360s.
So wait, would that mean like a regular vampire and like the Abominable Snowman had some sort of child? Because there's got to be an origin story. You can't just make this stuff up.
Where's the snow woman? So who gets with the Abominable Snowman to make more snow babies?
Well, it's got
to
be a vampire broad.
I don't know. It's just messed up.
It is. But with that, we have Frank's Bean of the Week.
Frank got beans.
Oh, yeah. And this week.
Thanks, Frank.
Yes, thank you, Frank. Another very topical and beautiful strain here. We've got the Snow Cap. Another West Coast strain that has developed quite a legacy for itself. Snow Cap is a potent sativa with a nice lemony scent with a hint of menthol. The effects are decidedly cerebral and should trigger creativity, happiness, and a case of the giggles. Believed to be a hybrid of the Humboldt Snow and Unknown Haze, the poorly documented genetic history leaves some mystery surrounding Snowcap. One thing customers will agree on is the all-around flavor and potency of this robust strain.
Mm-mm. Sounds good.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's not available in our area.
Womp womp.
I don't like it.
Need to go to a better area, man.
But I like the strain attributes.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
I'm gonna have to write this one down.
This is a good one.
Because we're going on a trip to a land of much where the cannabis flows like the...
Like wine?
Like wine.
Where women instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano?
Yes, and the ski bums flock like the salmon of Capistrano.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was writing snow cap.
That's okay. You can write.
That's right, man. Yeah. This is what I'm doing, man.
All right.
So, liking my snow caps. We're going to have to look that up in person.
Indeed.
The real deal.
All right.
But right now.
Let's get into it.
Time for a little ski news.
Ski news. All right. First one. The big story. Up in Killington, Vermont this week, and they had the Audi FIS World Cup Women's Event. And this is the first World Cup event that has been in Vermont in 40 years.
That's awesome.
The last one was in Stratton, and they finally got it back in Killington. Real roll of dice putting it in Killington, Vermont on Thanksgiving weekend. But they, the American gods were smiling upon them.
There you go.
Last weekend, and it was a fantastic event. Michaela Schifrin, she won the slalom on Sunday.
She killed it, right?
She had a pretty pretty strong lead. Yeah, nice. She did a great job. And then on Saturday, Norwegian racer Nina Lozeth, she won the giant slalom. So it was a
The slalom they did on Superstar, giant slalom was on.
They were both on Superstar. Oh, one was Saturday, one was Sunday. The giant slalom is started from the top. The regular slalom was a little bit further down.
Oh, from Preston's.
Well, Preston's is just the very end.
Yeah, the very, very end.
It was almost where, you know, that cut across.
Yeah.
If you where old Superstar is, yeah, I think it started about there. So that initial big drop off that you have, they didn't have that in the slalom.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was cool. It was fun to watch, and it was amazing the job they did getting Superstar ready, and you know the infrastructure change, putting that, you know, that big base camp down there, getting the grandstand set up. It was awesome to watch. I mean, it was really cool just seeing the mountain that, you know, we consider our home mountain.
That's great. Yeah,
just being this the center of the women's ski universe last weekend.
And they're saying, so while they expected about 10,000 spectators on any given day, they said they got about 16. So they expected about 10,000. They got about 16,000
on Sunday. Saturday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Sunday was 13,000. I'm like, that's pretty impressive.
That's a lot of people.
Way beyond, especially the 16,000 beyond. 16,000 people from the Northeast. That's probably like 20,000 normal people.
Yeah, right. Well, think about it. I mean, if you go to a hockey or a basketball game, you know, that's about what those arenas hold, you know?
Yeah.
13, 15, 18,000 people. That's so roughly cool. That number of people at the bottom of a hill watching people ski.
Cheering people on, yeah.
That's a huge crowd, yeah.
And it was nice to see people that we're connected with through our ski club and people that we know that are up there because we do the ski house and everything, putting on Facebook and Instagram, and it was, like, cool to see all their pictures of them, like, skiing and, like, by the stands and everything. It was pretty neat to see. They did a good job, it looks like.
Yeah, it was fantastic. This is definitely going to, if Killington wasn't on the map already, they definitely solidified their legitimacy this past weekend. And again, they really lucked out with the weather.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, we've talked about it on the podcast before, but last year, I mean, we did Ski Bum Week. We did it in early to mid-December. And I have a picture of Superstar the Friday before Christmas,
it is
green.
It sucked.
Not a single drop of snow anywhere.
There's just no snow.
And that was a month later, so they hit the jackpot.
They had some balls putting it Thanksgiving weekend, put it that way.
They did, and they rolled the dice, and they freaking nailed it.
Go big, go home.
That's what they did.
They went big.
Yeah.
They did not go home. They got the green light for it, so it turned out great. Hopefully they'll have more of that stuff in the Northeast. I mean, we've even seen, like, remember this summer they had the America's Cup race, first time in like 80 years in New York.
Yeah.
And they did it because they were changing the format to get more, like, fans, like, that can watch rather than have it in deep sea. So I wonder if, like, FIS is starting to look at, hey, you know what, we want to get more fans too, so, like, let's have it at maybe more populous areas at least once in a while.
Yeah, well, think about it. I mean, think of how many, the size of New York City, which is 4.5 hours away. You know, Boston, 2.5 hours away. Those are huge populations to draw from to get crowds for this. You know, when you're doing an event in, you know, Solden, Austria, or, you know, Chamonix, I mean, what's the closest big city to those mountains?
Yeah.
You know, and how many people can you get from there? You know, to get to Killington, it's a quick 4.5 hour drive from New York City.
Yeah.
You know, it's really easy to get to.
It's one of those things you wouldn't want to have it in all metro areas all the time, but it's good to have it once in a while. And to not have it like at Killington or in the Northeast, like it's kind of takes something away, I think, from it. Like you want to have it in the places that it's been for a long time and keep it classic, but you got to have, like, you know, this is just modern times. You got to step it up a little.
Yeah. You got to, I mean, it's marketing. It's, you know, getting it out there and putting it in a place like, you know, Killington, where it is very accessible and people know the name. So, yeah, they did a great job. It was a massive success, and hopefully we'll see more there. I know there's talk of them getting a men's event in 2019.
That'd be great.
A couple of years out, but yeah, that would be great.
I think it also helps ski programs here. You know, like, all of a sudden people see it, they're like, oh, this is great. I remember when I was little, I went to an event at Killington, and you know, I got jazzed about it, and I want to be a skier.
It's
or a
huge
boarder.
For kids to see that. Yeah, to get to see their, you know, people who can are inspiring. And I mean, Michaela Schifrin, she's a Northeastern girl. You know, like she used to ski 2 hours north of there. She was at Burke Mountain Academy.
Nice.
So she's from the area, and you know, to see a local, you know, a local person come and do well is huge.
And Donna's from here, she's from Killington.
Yeah.
So.
I think Bodie's originally from the Northeast, too.
Is he?
You think so?
Nice.
I could be making that up, but I believe he is.
Yeah, it's cool to see.
So they say this, the best racers come from the Northeast. Yeah, he's from New Hampshire.
Nice.
That's what I thought.
Well, Donna Weinbrecht, she did, she was moguls, right?
I think she was something else before.
Oh. She does the mogul camp in Killington.
She does the mogul camp, yeah, that's for sure.
Which is pretty cool.
But yeah, she was mogul skier. You were right.
She's
from West Milford, New Jersey.
Boom. Outer Limits, baby.
What's up?
Outer Limits.
Jersey in the house.
Nobody's seen Outer Limits. It's pretty much.
But do you know where she was born? She's born in Hoboken there.
Wow.
That's right. Home of Frank Sinatra. And yours truly.
Not born there, but you're just living it up there.
Just living there, yeah.
Living it, living the dream.
He may have been conceived there. Who knows?
Who knows? Whoa, we're not getting into that.
Boom.
Now.
Yeah, in a Cadillac.
You just remember a Cadillac. You have an affinity to Cadillacs.
I do. I don't know why. Gabagool and Cadillacs. That's just
you pass out with Gabagool, you get a little bit, hey, what's up in Cadillacs?
Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada.
So awesome job, Killington. Awesome job, Michaela and Nina. It was a very successful weekend. And the FIS season continues, and the Killington ski season continues with Superstar finally opening for us common folk this weekend.
Very awesome.
Can't wait to check it out.
Excellent. So next up we got Best Ski Towns in America 2016 edition.
Ooh.
Ooh. So this was from Smart Asset.
At first, I thought it was like smartass. Like smartass ET.
Smart asset. So is this a financial breakdown of the assets of each place?
Break it down.
All right, so let's start with number one. This ain't Aspen, Colorado.
Well, I can't believe you gave away number one first.
Oh, I'm going top down.
But you know what? You did that, and you didn't give the criteria for what. You got to give some criteria.
I usually start with 10, and then we're like, what is this leading up to? No, I'm starting with number one, right in there.
I can respect that, but
I'll let you break down the criteria.
All right, the methodology.
So I'm just doing the what's number one.
This is
two,
the
three.
Good folks at Smart Asset. I mean, their site seems pretty legit.
Smart ass.
They had a formula, and that's all I really want. I want reasoning to why, because it's so easy to go, oh, this place is number one. Why is it number one? Okay, so here's their criteria. Housing affordability ratio. So they looked at the median annual housing expenses as a percentage of median household income.
Okay, so not highfalutin-y. Just saying.
It plays into it. Winter unemployment rate. This is the unemployment rate as of January 2016. Since labor market conditions near ski resorts tend to change with the seasons, we use two separate unemployment factors. We gave full weight to this metric, and ski resorts are usually more popular in the winter.
Hmm.
So they had the summer unemployment rate, which is as of August 2016.
These are just the hippie numbers. How many hippies are wandering around with nothing to do? How many hippies are wandering around with something
well,
to do?
Well, I have a comment about that. So, next one. Number of entertainment establishments per 10,000 residents. So, you know, accounts for
strip
museums,
bars.
Movie theaters, perhaps strip bars.
Just say adult
male
entertainment,
and female.
Adult entertainment venues.
Perhaps.
Could be beer establishments. Could be liquor establishments. Could be... Just saying.
As long as they're entertaining, that's all that matters.
Can we movie theater?
Yes. Next, number of bars and dining establishments per 10,000 residents.
All right.
And then median household income. So those were the criteria. And then they also had another thing, the PAF score, which is the pure awesomeness factor. And that was made up of five different factors, including number of lifts, average snowfall, vertical drop.
Hmm.
It's actually three.
They should have had an HFSB factor. Just saying.
I think we'll have to come up with our own little metric.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to have our own ranking.
So then they ranked each of the cities and towns in the study across all seven of those metrics and then gave a full score. And they averaged out the rankings, come up with a score between 0 and 100. The highest town with the average ranking scored a 100. So number one, based on all that, was Aspen, Colorado.
Aspen.
I'll let you go with the rest of the list.
All right, so that was Aspen. I'm not going to say why. You could read the article.
They have a full breakdown. You have the scores and numbers and everything.
Number two, I'll rate it bowler as fuck because we were there. Tommy Moe, love you, man.
Tommy Moe.
He's there. It has the Tommy Moe factor, which adds into it, which isn't on this like rating, but I think it adds in my heart.
The TMF.
So it's time,
the
TMF.
Tommy Moe factor.
Tommy Moe factor. And that's Jackson, Wyoming.
Yeah.
Home to Jackson Hole and Grand Targhee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Snow King.
In Snow King. Crested Butte, Colorado.
Ooh.
Now, I'm in Tampa, Florida, hanging out at one of the breweries that I was bopping back and forth. And I start...
Zipping and zapping and bipping and bopping.
I was bipping and bopping. I'm hanging out.
I was drinking. We'll go get the massage.
I start talking to this couple next to me. They're like, we're ready to go back home. They're from Celebration. They're like, they ski Crested Butte all the time. I was like... And they fucking love it.
Dude, I have a massive crush on Crested Butte right now.
I'll call it a massive hard-on for Crested Butte.
Hard-on, yeah.
Hard-on.
Oh, yes, I'd go that far, too.
The Butte.
Go to After watching the new Warren Miller movie, Here, There, Everywhere, they had a... Crested Butte was one of the featured towns there. And the
Crested
mountain
Butte got on my list
skiing.
This year.
Dude.
From and all I've seen.
Plus, too, they have the backcountry cannabis shop there.
Boom. Now it really got on my list.
It's really moving up.
So my bucket list is changing. It always changes. And Crested Butte just moved up a little bit on the bucket list.
Moving up the charts. Number three right now, Crested Butte, Colorado.
That's right. And number four is Vail, Colorado.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be going to Vail for the first time. You've been, right?
Never been to Vail.
You've never been to Vail?
No.
Ski club, March, going.
Going.
I'm going to put it in the books hopefully this year. So it's up there. Number four, they're saying.
Number five, there is an error in that. It's the wrong state, just so you know. You know what the right state is. Going there in February. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Park City, Utah.
Yeah.
It says Colorado.
Where?
Are you looking at the outline or are you looking at the website?
Oh, I'm looking at the actual article.
Oh, I'm looking at the outline.
See.
That's why.
This is where we fall down on our shelves.
See, you were zinging and I was zagging.
Zipping in the seven.
Take the pill and then, we got to fill up your boobies.
But maybe we'll open Park City, Colorado soon. Who knows?
South Park City.
We might have enough seed money to buy our own town and mountain.
Seeds.
And just... just grow a lot of stuff on the mountain while you ski.
Metaphorical seed money.
You're not tree skiing. You're weed bush skiing. I'm just saying. Shh. Okay, we won't break that out to everybody. We'll just...
Dude.
So, Park City, Utah, which we're going to be in February. Boom. Yeah, we said it. Ski bums are there.
That's right. That's Ski Bum Week Part 2.
And let me see if the other place we're going to be while we're there is on there.
It is not.
It is not, but
there's
I've heard...
a reason why. If you go there, you know why.
Well, it doesn't meet the criteria of this thing, but it meets the baller's fuck
because there
ski
are no one lives there.
Exactly.
And there's no dining establishments.
And that
and
is...
there's zero entertainment.
And that we'll put that as 5... this will be 5A, and then we'll do 5B as Snowbird.
Yes.
Which will be.
At. Yes. But the skiing is incredible.
Yeah.
All right, back to the list.
Back to the list. Number six.
Near and dear to our hearts.
Near and dear to our... I went there 2 years in a row, one of them without weed.
Oh.
So, Telluride, Colorado.
It's so awesome there.
Everything
right about that town, except for how much everything goddamn costs.
Oh, everything was great. We saw Kurt Russell. Like, we saw Quentin Tarantino.
Yes, Quentin Tarantino was hammered Sheridan.
They were closing the Hateful Eight that time. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wild little town. I love it.
I love that town. Brown Dog Pizza, shout out.
Brown Dog. We had the freaking mafia, like...
The Johnny Pepperoni pizza and like that weird back room.
No, we had the...
It's like
the
their office.
We had the mafia back room. We had their office.
This is the Copacabana, like in Goodfellas. We was walking through.
It was the Goodfellas office.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, number seven, Breckenridge, Colorado.
The home of our whiskey that we're drinking.
Boom. I heard a lot about Breckenridge recently. I think the club's taking a trip there. Mm. Number 8, Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Still on my damn list. I got to get that off.
That's where our pal Nick was there before Jackson last year. Actually, this year still. And he wasn't super happy with it.
I have a buddy. So this is where, in a former life, I may have been there still. I have a buddy that went there. Ski bum right after college. Still there. Boom.
That's the way to do it.
Tahoe City, California is number 9. And they placed it in the top 10. They're saying small town, but a lot of resorts within driving distance, Squaw Valley and Homewood. So sounds pretty damn good. Tahoe is awesome.
So I guess Tahoe City, if you're looking at the map and you see Lake Tahoe, usually you think of like Heavenly. That's South Lake Tahoe.
State Line is the town.
State Line, yeah. But that's South Lake Tahoe.
Right.
And that's where all the casino, like the big casinos are. There's a lot more action going on. Now, Tahoe City, isn't that more like, so if that's the southern part of the lake, Tahoe City is more like the northwest, right?
So Tahoe City is California?
Yeah.
And that is...
It looks like it's north. It's like the western part.
Yeah. Oh, they have Homewood, Olympic Valley, Scott Peak.
There's oh, my God. Yeah, it's almost around. On the... Yeah, it's probably...
The west part.
About 10 o'clock if the whole lake was a clock.
Exactly.
About 10 o'clock, where 10 o'clock. South Lake Tahoe is like 6 o'clock.
5, 6 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy how the mountain is like right next to the lake, too.
I know, and how everything...
All those resorts.
You just skip around the whole mountain, just keep skiing. It's great.
They're all right there, yeah.
It's great.
Yep.
All right, so those are the top 10, but then they keep going on.
Only number 9. There's one more.
Oh, that's right.
A strange one.
Red Lodge, Montana.
Red Lodge, Montana. I know nothing about Red Lodge, Montana.
Wild Bill Lake is right there.
I do know. It's one of the most affordable places on the list.
Huh. Might be a hidden gem.
Yeah, I mean, I looked it up, and there's only one. I mean, Red Lodge Mountain is the mountain that's there, and it doesn't look that gigantic, but I mean, all the criteria were met, and it seems like a pretty.
It's a nice, chill town, probably, until it gets on this list, and now everybody's moving.
Ruined.
Just ruined.
Ruined by the Silicon Valley and Hollywood folk bringing in their devil money.
So I don't see any other big hitters, like in terms of, like, so there's Bozeman, Montana, Fraser, like, so there's other big cities. And then you have Keystone, Colorado, mm-hmm. number 17. Juneau, Alaska. It's Alaska.
Juneau, baby.
You have great skiing in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Alta, Utah is up there, 19, which is right next door to Snowbird.
Yep.
Whitefish, Durango. Just sounds like I want to go to Durango.
Mm-hmm.
And Sun Valley, Idaho, 25, which... I've heard a lot of good things about Sun Valley.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that surprised me, there wasn't a single eastern ski town on here. Gatlinburg, Tennessee was not on here.
Mountain Creek.
Vernon, New Jersey was not on there. But yeah, and even like a Stowe or a Lake Placid or a Killington, none of those made the list,
yeah.
Which was a little surprising. But, I mean, I get it. I dig it.
According to the criteria.
According to the criteria. You know, if you don't meet it, you don't meet it.
That's right.
So, cool article, smartasset.com, folks. Nice job. And I like how they have their methodology and all their, it makes a big difference.
It's good to explain it. It's not
like a reason for why.
Right. Yeah. After this last election, it's good to see that somebody's using criteria that actually makes sense. Because I think the last election showed, like, they don't really usually pay a lot of attention. They just throw some numbers out there.
We hate fake news. We like statistics. We like analysis. We like reasons for things.
Exactly. So hopefully the real news will get to be like actual news, not fake news.
Exactly.
So that's why we love criteria.
Yes. And so we'll have the link to this on the website, and you can check it out on skibumpodcast.com. Probably this weekend. Next up. So here we go. December 8th, which is a week from today. We're recording this on December the 1st. Powder Magazine having their 17th annual Powder Awards in Breckenridge, Colorado. Some of the nominees, they have, you know, Photo of the Year. They have Best Line, best air, best powder, best jib, best female performance, best male performance, best short, best editing, best cinematography, best documentary, movie of the year. What they do not have is podcast of the year.
I totally agree with you.
What the fuck is up with that, Powder?
We're calling you out, Powder. This is bullshit.
For the next 1 year, we are going to lobby to get best ski podcast added to the Powder Awards for next year.
That's right.
We're going to do it.
I think we should start a GoFundMe to petition and raise money to keep petitioning.
We don't even need that. We're just going to go and protest outside their headquarters every day.
Everybody that's protesting Trump, let's just start, go move over to Powder Magazine, protest them, because we need some representation, just saying.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Ski lives matter.
Ski lives matter.
And they should not be ignored like they are today.
Yes. We're just trying to get by, man, you know?
That's right.
So yeah, so Powder Awards. We love you. We're both subscribers to Powder Magazine.
Love the Powder Awards.
But these awards need to get with the times, son. We need to have best podcast.
Best podcast. I like it.
And I would put us up against any other ski podcast out there.
That's right.
Bring on all comers.
Bring it on. We're going to have to reach out to them and be like, what the deal? What the dealio, man?
Yeah. So, Powder, you know what to do. Make it right. 2018.
Make it right.
Actually, 2017. Oof, not 2018. It's way too far out.
We're thinking ahead.
Yes. 2018. 18th Annual Powder Awards. We want to be there.
That's right. All right. So next up. So while I was in Tampa, had a good time there. Went all over the whole Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater area. And went to a big ski shop, which we talked about last week, the Bill Jackson's. And part of going to Bill Jackson's, talking to them, they're actually affiliated with a lot of ski clubs in the Tampa area. So I was very impressed. We reached out to a bunch of them. We'll mention a few. And if you guys want to reach back out to us, we'd love to connect. I actually think we are connected, so we're going to get news from some of these sites.
Cool.
But just even looking at it, they have some pretty great trips. So we're looking at Tampa Bay snow skiers. And they are doing, their trip list is pretty damn good. So if you look at their trips, this is the one that...
Jeez, they go to a lot of good places. Holy crap.
In March, they're going to Japan, which looks freaking awesome. $3,600. That's not bad.
And they have like, they have it that you can extend the trips. Like there's like a beginning extension and an after extension. So if you wanted to, you can make it like a 2.5-week trip.
That looks awesome.
Like they're going to Hong Kong at the end?
Yeah. And they're doing a lot of different big trips.
They do a lot of really good trips. Holy crap.
To Big Sky, Snowbird, Copper, Keystone, Taos, Banff, Telluride, Japan, Niseko, Crested Butte. They're going to Butte. Park City, Breckenridge. And then they do summer trips. They do Croatia. They're doing Valle Nevado in Chile.
That is awesome.
Which I'm looking at for $4,400 may be the way to go. Fly down to Tampa, hang out for a few days, hang out with mom. She'll feed us, like, and then fly us right out, all fat and bloated, to Chile.
Tampa Bay snow skiers and boarders.
So just when you think you're in a warm weather area, you don't think you can ski, and you wanted to ski, you know what? Go out and look for these places because they're everywhere. They're all over the place.
Seriously. I wonder how much cocaine money has gone on to help fund and the Tampa Bay ski organization. I like their logo with a little, is it like a skiing orange?
Yeah, skiing orange.
It's like
orange.
Donald Trump.
And then they have then they have Onyx Ski and Sports Club of Tampa Bay, which is pretty cool. They got a lot of trips too. And it's good to see, like, you know, just people getting out and skiing. And then there's Clearwater Ski and Sports Club, which is also known as the Snow Sharks.
The Snow Sharks.
I love it. The little logo with the shark skiing with a little hat on. Pretty creative.
Are there any rivalries between these different clubs?
That would be cool to see if they have, like, ski races or what's going on, you know?
See, it looks like this Clearwater St. Petersburg, the Snow Sharks, they seem to have the exact same trips as the Tampa group.
Well, I know they're going with the Florida Ski Council, so I'm wondering if they're advertising, they're all selling trips that are going through Florida Ski Council, because there's a ton of them. Mm-hmm. So it's still a pretty impressive list that is doing it. Maybe they're running simultaneous, you know, combining.
I mean, come on. They're not going to Niseko on their own.
Yeah, it's probably the same dates, right?
Crested Butte, Beaver Creek, Snowmass. Those are all the ones that the other club,
right,
the Tampa Bay one, had.
But the good part is they're all going skiing.
They are.
That's what I'm saying. You'd be in the middle of the hot desert.
They were in Austria this year.
Yeah.
They definitely do some legit trips here. Wow.
I got to see if any of our trips coincide with their trips.
Wow, 18 ski trips they do a year.
Yeah. And I think, like, they're even doing... They're doing a Costa Rica trip in the summer, which is not the same that the other ones advertising. So they might do some different. Maybe they combine, but... it's pretty good to see. Like, I say to everybody, I'm like, look in your local area. There's got to be something going on.
Yeah.
Especially if you want a deal, you want to go skiing. If you want to ski, there's people that will ski with you. Or board. They will go and ski a board with you.
No doubt.
So.
Even in Tampa. So, good info there. All right. And last of our ski news stories. So, this one was a little disconcerting. It's actually more annoying than anything else. So this just closed today. There was a jury awards a hiker $750,000
American dollars
after Canadian being stranded. Hey, anyone that's Canadian dollars, they're worthless.
They
right
should
now.
Just award it in like pesos. That'd be fucked up. But like 750,000 pesos.
Yes.
How you like that?
So this hiker was awarded $750,000 American dollars after being stranded on the Killington gondola.
For like 3 days, right?
Oh, I think it was, what, 3 hours? 4 hours?
God damn it.
Oh, just reading these quotes.
I think it was 5 hours.
You know, she was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder after being stuck on a gondola in 2011.
You know, 5 hours is two movies on Netflix, dude. That's a lot. That's five episodes of Narcos. I mean, that's a lot to miss in your life. You're never going to have that Narcos back.
Yep. So, yeah, she got on at 3 p.m. on the afternoon of Saturday, October 1st in 2011. Though the lift was still moving, it was being closed early for the day, reportedly due to inclement weather. The lift was shut down while she was still on board. A search and rescue operation took place that evening once she was reported missing. She was reportedly stuck on the lift for 5 hours that afternoon into the evening, but did not require medical attention at the time. What sort of medical attention would you need being stuck in a gondola for 5 hours?
It's like a fully enclosed gondola. Like, it's pretty comfortable. It's like sitting, you know.
It's cushy. You're alone. I'm sure she had her cell phone with her. She's probably playing, 2011? She's probably playing, like, Angry Birds or something.
The Candy Crush.
This is before Candy Crush, though, right?
Is it? I don't know. Candy Crush, I think, was out. This early adopter Candy
Crush.
Oh,
and this attorney's lines. Her attorney was quoted saying the case was about, quote-unquote, the torture of being stuck in a gondola car because 1 minute when you believe you're going to die is a long time.
Wow.
And then this lady...
that guy advertises at like 2 o'clock in the morning on every TV station.
Have you been stuck in a gondola before? It's like Bernie Sanders' brother, I just picture. If you've been stuck in a gondola, we will sue and get you the money you deserve.
It's wrong. You've been wrongfully stuck in a gondola.
1 minute in a gondola is like post-traumatic stress. It's torture. The 1 minute, the 1 second of the 1 minute of the one gondola that you're stuck in.
I heard there was one lawyer thing I heard on late night, and they had like a jingle.
Jingle.
It was hilarious. They had like, if you're stuck, we're going to get you out. We'll get you out of a car accident.
Was it like a rap?
It was like a rap.
Oh,
and it was just like,
worse.
Wow. Who's your lawyer? I got the rap guy from like 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, okay.
It's like we'll call Saul, right?
Yeah, it's horrible. It's just the funniest thing. Yeah. Like, so you call that guy, he'll get you out of jail. All right, I'm going to call him.
Yeah, so Nadine Price, this is the name of the lady that was stuck in there. So, yeah, if you're in the Rutland County area and you have a high-end car dealership, look for Nadine Price rolling in this weekend.
Rolling in.
Picking up a new whip, son.
Bentley dealership right there in Rutland.
Yeah.
Rutland.
I believe Bentley, there's two Bentley dealerships in Rutland, isn't there?
I think there are.
The northern one and a southern one.
Oh, no, you're getting confused with the other Ferrari dealership.
Ah, yes. They changed over. Totally
and
then forgot.
It's between the Tesla and the, yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations, Nadine. I hope you're recovering nicely from your post-traumatic stress.
Hope you're not too traumatized.
Yeah.
We're just reporting the news.
We're not judging.
I don't want to, you know, get sued by somebody for, you know, saying that. Just saying.
So congratulations, and we're so sorry for what happened to you.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, though.
That's a nice chunk of change.
How do they assess that?
It's all nonsense.
It's like weird math.
This is why Vermont didn't legalize cannabis this year, because of all this sort of stupid thinking.
All sort of this stuff. So 2011, this was going on for a long time, 5 years.
How is that going on that long?
I have no idea.
It is Rutland County.
Killington reportedly admitted closing procedures were not followed.
Yeah.
So, and they were saying that she was not at fault. So, yeah, ipso facto, I guess, you know, they're like, whatever.
If I could get easy money for doing that and complaining and whining and being a little bitch, I'd do the same thing.
Notice they paid out right after the record-setting FIS attendance event.
Just gave her a bag of cash.
Boom. We just got this cash
bag
from the event.
Bag of cash.
There you go. That's a bag of cash.
That's how you do it. So be careful on those gondolas in October, friends.
Yeah, kind of look around, but like, make sure that you don't, you know, leave me on here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Weird stuff.
So that wraps up the old ski news for the week.
That brings us into going into our main topic.
Oh, main topic.
What are we talking about today, Brian?
You tell me, because I don't even know. I can't even tell.
You didn't even put a topic on the outline.
I really didn't.
So we're talking about Après drinks today.
Oh.
So it's almost another Après today, but we're calling this
more like Après tomorrow.
Après every day. This is Après after your day. So we're calling Après time. Is Après time, which is anywhere between between lunchtime and hot tub time, is Après time. So you can go in for one Après. We've been on trips. The Ishkill trip,
there
were two Après for every day. There was a 3 o'clock and then a 5 o'clock. There's a 2 o'clock and a 4 o'clock Après.
And then if you're German, Austrian, or Swiss, it's 9:30 in the morning.
That's the first one. And then there's a 12, and then there's a 2, and then there's a 4.
Yes.
So, or 4:30, 5, something like that. So Après is whenever you want to do it. If anybody doesn't know what Après is after ski drinking. And the idea is, you know, you have a nice day of skiing, you go for a nice cocktail, you relax, and then you go on, do your dinner, do your relaxation. We like to do Pilates and, you know, a little hot tub, a little sauna, a little hot yoga.
What you call that?
Well, in my mind, that's what it is, but it's usually a lot of drinking and eating.
What's the best is if you can grab a quick nap between...
Yes.
Actually, right after the hot tub. So you get your Après, you got your hot tub, and you get a nice little nap before you go out for dinner and going out.
Yeah, the hot tub gets you ready for just sleeping.
Yeah, take a little napski.
Just want a nap. Or there are the times where you do the Après, if you do it right, just enough Après, not too much, not too little, but just to get you tired. And you just come back and just hot shower and just sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you go into like a coma sleep.
Oh, it's so nice.
Yeah.
And especially if you're in a state that has legalized cannabis.
Well, that's the X factor right there.
That's the X factor. You can be all taken care of.
And then you wake up after your
nice
nap.
Nice green blanket.
Ready to go. Have a few Monsters, little Red Bulls, and then you're ready to go. But so let's talk about drinks that we like. So we have some classics. I put the classics on the list, and then we can go through like other stuff that, you know, was on our mind.
Mm-hmm.
So first one is, that's your baby.
The Glühwein. Yeah, I grew up, you know, my parents are both from Germany, and every time at Christmas, my mom makes Glühwein, which is a German European mulled wine. And the recipe, the way she makes it, is she takes a big, you know, big old pot on the stove, puts hot water, or well, water and hot tea or black tea. So you water, tea bags, heat it up, brew that for like, you know, 10, 15 minutes. Take out the tea bags. Then you're adding in red wine and white wine, rum, brandy, oranges, lemons, cinnamon, cloves, and a little bit of sugar to taste. And you don't boil that because you don't want to boil off that good alcohol. Just let it get warm, mix it up, and it is just a dynamite, warm your body, delicious drink. And
the key to it is not making it, not letting it get too hot, right? Because then you evaporate some of the alcohol.
You can't boil it. That's the key.
Yeah, it's got to be.
And you know what? What does suck? I mean, haven't been lucky enough to ski in Europe a couple times. The way the Europeans do their apres compared to how we do it here, it's very different. It's more of like a scene, and having those warm drinks on the mountain.
Yeah,
I mean, we were in Zermatt a couple of years ago, and that was both of our first trips to Europe.
It's a party, man!
The first night, or the first, you know, first afternoon after we skied, we were on the mountain, and coming off, we found there was like three or four bars on the mountain on the last run getting off.
Well, and you're not stop ski. You didn't stop skiing. You're skiing out, and you stop. You still have a lot to ski.
Yeah.
And that's what real apres, especially in Europe, is. Like, you're on the mountain still.
Yeah. You're not getting in your car. You're not taking off your skis and boots and changing clothes. You are still on the mountain.
Yeah.
And we went to that champagne bar. Like, I still can picture.
Love that champagne bar.
Just, because you and Andrea, you guys kind of were getting off and going off the mountain before us. And me and Mike, we got a few more runs in. And I'm like, we got to stop at this champagne bar and get a drink. This is unbelievable. And you guys were just sitting there hanging out.
Like, hey, what's up?
They had all the heated lamps and like the.
We're sitting on chairs, just chilling out. Oh, I got to send that picture. I'm going to put that on Instagram.
So cool. Like, I mean,
that was one of the best days.
That was unreal. And that was funny because, you know, when you're in Zermatt, the Matterhorn is right there. And the first day we got there, so that was Sunday. We got there Saturday afternoon. It was kind of foggy, a little bit snowy. Sunday, same thing, foggy, a little bit snowy. And we keep going, oh, that's the Matterhorn right there, right? Oh, that's it. That's got to be it. Definitely it. And that afternoon, that Sunday afternoon, when the sky finally cleared, we're like, oh, that's the Matterhorn.
Clearly see.
Definitely sticks out among the rest. That was so cool.
I tell you what, that... So the nice thing about apres ski is, so we've been to places that are a freaking party scene, like a club, outdoor party scene, people
Kuhstall,
doing shots.
In Ischgl, Austria, yep.
Oh, people just going crazy. And then that champagne bar was cool because you were skiing out, and it was hidden in the middle of like a very narrow ski route. And
it was almost like a, you know, if you don't want to go on the super steeps, it's kind of like the cut around, like roundabout.
But it's very scenic. Yeah,
very roundabout. Scenic. I mean, there was a cliff on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And then there was the mountain on the other side.
And that champagne bar, we kept seeing the awning like every day, and we kept missing it. And then we were like, oh, okay, we got to stop there. And we'd said
we only
something.
Got there once, didn't we?
We only got there once because
we couldn't find it again.
We couldn't. But we stopped, and it was
did it
just,
actually exist?
But it was so perfect because Andrew and I stopped, and we're just like, oh, this is a cool place. We want to stop here. Let's just chill. And it was so nice and quiet and chill. And we're just hanging out. And the funniest part is we wound up sitting across the run. So, like, we had to walk across the run with our drinks. And people are going by.
And people are sledding, like, too, like tobogganing.
Yeah. So, like, somebody's going to take you out if you're not looking.
Yeah.
And they were just sitting there. And you guys decided to stop, too. And we're like, made a perfect apres day.
Oh,
and
that
was
so
a
good.
Nice, quiet chill. We had a few drinks. It was like, and we had the Glühwein then. It was nice and warm. It's nice. Nice.
Yeah, that's a big thing in Europe is these traditional, you know, alpine drinks, the Glühwein, and then your jam, which you make.
So next up, we got the Jaeger tea.
Jaeger tea.
Now, this I made after going to Zermatt as well. We were exposed to Jaeger tea. And I'm like, you know, you hear it, you're like, yeah, I don't want Jägermeister in a drink. There's no Jägermeister in this. This is, they serve it in, I love the way they serve it. They usually serve it in the clear mugs, the coffee mugs, and it looks like tea. It's like
a green tea or something. It's like kind of light.
Mm-hmm. Like a light green tea. And you're like, oh, wow, that looks good. It looks healthy. I'm going to have it. And you're like, oh, you figure it's tea with little brandy or something in it. I got to say, there's tea in this, but mainly it's all alcohol. There's and it's weird. You read the ingredients, you're like, this makes that drink that I had. So there's red wine, there's tea, spiced rum, plum brandy, orange juice, cloves, cinnamon, and lemon and sugar. Now, I've taken that recipe, which is like an Austrian recipe. So we're in Switzerland, we had it. And then we also had it in Austria. And I guess it's an Austrian national recipe. They have it on their national website. It's kind of weird. So I took that recipe from the website, made it, and then I've modified it since. And my version, I think Brian can agree, is awesome.
It's dynamite, yeah.
Because we had it when we went to Austria, and we're like, well, this is very sweet and kind of syrupy. It's
same with the Glühwein.
Glühwein, too.
Yeah, you know what it was? It's almost like they have the, if you got a homemade one in, like, a local place, it would be out of this world. Like, the one in Switzerland was way better than Austria. The one in Austria, it was almost like it was the, remember a couple years ago when, like, Captain Morgan was selling, like, the Captain Morgan and Coke together?
Yeah.
Captain Morgan and Cola. In the bottles, like pre-mixed. That's what it was kind of like, these like pre-mixed drinks.
Well, they do have it. Was it Stroh is the brand of Jaeger?
Stroh is it's an Austrian rum company, but they also make like a pre-mixed Jaeger tea. Yeah. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's different. It's very different.
I almost wonder if they start with that and they add some other stuff and then they cook it for a long time.
Like water it down in a way. It's almost like a concentrate. Mellow it out, yeah.
And it just gets syrupy and sweet because, it just sits and cooks too. So it reduces the alcohol and everything that's in it. So when you make it at home, I tell you, pour it into a mug, like 30 to 50 seconds in the microwave, and boom, it is dynamite.
It's so good. It warms you up. You almost don't get the buzz. You don't think you're getting the alcohol because it's a warm drink.
It goes right to your head.
It does.
You
sit down with that, and then you try to get up, and you're like, yeah, I'm not going to get up.
The hot alcohol does something.
It's,
I don't know.
It's so nice.
And it warms you, too. Oh, mm-hmm. It's good. So damn good.
Yeah.
So another one of your favorites that's not on our little outline is
the Goombay Smash.
Goombay Smash.
That's a weird one because it's a very tropical drink, but for whatever reason, back to Killington, it is a fan favorite up at Killington, and just about every bar there has it. And, one of the places that's known to have a good one is The Lookout, and they're a chain. I mean, if you look at the places they are, like they have establishments, it's all like the best ski towns.
That's awesome.
In the U.S.
So they're a chain in ski towns, which is awesome.
They did it absolutely right. And what's in a Goombay Smash, if you're interested, it is 1 ounce of spiced rum, 1 ounce of coconut rum, preferably Malibu, 1/4 ounce of apricot brandy, 2 ounces of pineapple juice, 2 ounces of orange juice. So really, you can almost call that a health drink.
So the problem with those is you start drinking them, you're like, after a nice day, so you're going the other way. You're not doing a hot drink. You're doing something kind of chilled and like a nice fruity drink. But you drink it, you're like, wow, this tastes pretty fruity, pretty not sweet and syrupy, but like just like juicy fruity. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, you drink it down, like goes down so good, I could do another. It's very refreshing.
You can get yourself in trouble.
It's actually quite refreshing. And then you have your second or your third and you're just like, I just drank a ton of stuff.
Yeah, they're very deceptive.
Yeah,
because again, it's a lot of fruit juice and rums, and it's sweet, and it dehydrates you too.
Yeah,
big time.
But yeah, do it with water. So operate, what I would recommend to everybody, whatever you're doing, always get water.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The other one that's one of your favorites, that's one of my favorites, is the Irish coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And we make it different ways. So people do the Irish coffee. Some people do, what's the classic that a lot of people order is with the Baileys in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you got the twist on it. I like your version.
The way this isn't even my twist. This is how it was given to me, and I'm like, this is the way I like it now. So you take coffee, and you add Baileys, but you also add Jameson.
Yeah.
So it's like half and half. So say you were doing, two shots of Bailey's, you would do a shot of Bailey's and a shot of Jameson in there.
Or two and two.
Two and two.
And a splash of coffee.
That completely changes your beverage. And it's like a Irish car missile. It's not even a car bomb.
That's right.
It's just like a missile.
Irish car dirty bomb.
It's just an like a IUD or an... That's, isn't that like a, that, that's a sex thing, isn't it? IUD?
IED? IED.
IED, yeah.
The Irish dirty bomb.
It's an Irish dirty bomb. That's pretty much what it is. Yeah, there's just Bailey's. See,
a lot of alcohol.
Jameson and a splash of coffee.
That's right.
Yeah, those are, oh, those are so good, though. Those are usually my favorites when
I never get the whipped cream on it.
Come on.
A little too much.
The whipped cream.
Now, if you do the double and double, then maybe the whipped cream to kind of, you know, dress
it down
a little.
Yeah, the whipped cream is,
it's a lot of flair.
You don't need that.
For me, it's a lot of flair. It's like not in the drink. It's like the...
I like a more download drink. You know, yeah. I don't need attention drawn to it. I don't need sparkles and nonsense.
You don't get the sparklers on it and the people singing when they bring it out.
I want none of that nonsense.
I hear you. Not for opera ski.
I think to myself, would Clint Eastwood drink this?
Yeah.
I don't think that at all.
Would Charlton Heston? Get your damn...
From my cold, dead hand!
Get your damn fancy foo-foo stuff off of my drink.
Well, it depends, too.
Filthy animal.
If the whipped cream is made from grass-fed cows...
Oh, now that's a whole different level.
If you got some like Kerrygold whipped cream, does that even exist? Kerrygold butter. They got the freaking other things. Is there Kerrygold whipped cream?
I would rather instead of whipped cream, they say, "Oh, float a piece of butter on top of my drink."
Ooh.
I would love that. Instead of your empty calories on that, I want the full fat, real Kerrygold Irish butter. Just put a little pat right on my drink.
Why don't they have boozy bulletproof coffees?
Oh yes,
bulletproof Irish coffee.
We got to talk about bulletproof again because that's, you haven't done that.
Well, see, that's what you think. I want to tell you about it.
Really?
So I don't know if, and technically you shouldn't be calling it bulletproof coffee because it's just a branding. It's actually like Tibetan, it's from Tibetan butter tea. All right, what it is. So this whole bulletproof coffee thing, this
is in the morning.
Joe Rogan's podcast. Shout out to Joe Rogan. We got your rookie card in the,
we got Joe Rogan rookie card
in our On It cards here.
Oh, if anybody wants to trade for Joe Rogan rookie, Brian has one.
I am not trading the Joe Rogan rookie card.
There's got to be some other good stuff.
SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com.
If you have a Lindsey Vonn card or something like that, whoever's an On It. After,
dude,
I guess we
you
on
need
it.
Like three Bodie Millers, a Tommy Moe, a Lindsey Vonn, and you might get the Rogan. But yeah, so on his podcast, he had this dude, Dave Asprey, who has this line of bulletproof products, he calls it. And he's like a body hacker and an author. And that's his brand. And he pretty much puts his brand on this recipe, which is you take coffee and you put in grass-fed butter, unsalted, and MCT oil, and you blend it. And it makes this like thick, delicious coffee. And you don't get the caffeine rush you usually get from regular coffee. It's more of like a delayed reaction. And it fills you up. Like, you're not hungry after you drink it. So what it really is, you know, you get a good coffee, and then you put the grass-fed unsalted butter and MCT oil, which is medium chain triglycerides. It's made from coconut oil.
I actually put that in my shakes every morning.
It's awesome stuff.
Or coffee. It's great. Everybody has it now.
Yeah.
Like everybody. It's like the big deal.
It's becoming a thing. Yeah. So if you can do that, take that and put, instead of, you don't need the Irish cream anymore, just the whiskey.
Just the whiskey.
And we're not going to call it bulletproof. We're going to call it, what should we call it? We can give it our own name because we're kind of taking ownership of it at this point.
Highfalutin coffee.
Highfalutin buttery bitches.
The buttery bitch coffee.
Buttery bitch coffee.
Are you going to have a buttery bitch? Yeah, I'll have two.
Two buttery bitches.
Make it a double buttery
bitch. Line them up.
Make it a double buttery bitch.
Line them up. Yeah, so we're gonna work on that. I tried doing an iced bulletproof coffee or iced buttery coffee.
Nah, you can't.
A lot of clumping. Oh, it was pretty gross.
And you powered through it, didn't you?
It's what you got to do. Not wasting that good butter. That butter's expensive as hell. The Kerrygold stuff.
Damn.
But it is delicious. All right. Now one of your favorites.
All right. Wait, you get a Laura Sesselman and maybe a Kevin Estrada for the Rogan. You trade those cards maybe?
Forget about it.
You got to look at some
Forget about it. That Rogan is like, that's the Mickey Mantle rookie card.
It's the Mickey.
The Honest Wagner.
That's right. All right, so next up we have... So after that, it's hard to follow that. That'd be great if they serve Bulletproof as an Opry drink.
Dude.
With a shot.
Oh.
With a shot.
Speaking of which, we're totally going off topic right now.
Yeah.
Back to Killington. It's been our... We're talking about it a lot this week. Apparently, Casey's Caboose is reopening this year.
Oh, I'd like to
That's
see what
That's the rumor.
We got to see it for real.
We were thinking about buying it
for real.
In our little delusional partaking in cannabis and thinking about career options.
Well, we had this vision and we had this concept and we had a business plan. And we had a very prominent political figure, Russian person, that was going to invest, very chummy with Donald Trump. And he kind of backed out. And we had this back and forth with him. But the deal fell through, yada, yada, yada. We couldn't get anybody else to pick it up. And then somebody else swooped in and screwed us.
Yeah.
So.
We're going to call it Vladdy Dotties.
Putin, go fuck yourself is what
it
is.
Whoa.
Oh,
I didn't say it.
That's right.
They're coming after you.
Drop the mic,
that
bitch.
Was Mario. They're coming after you. KGB is listening.
If we go there.
KGB made that Amazon Echo. That's their invention.
With a little
NSA. Spying on
with
you.
A little NSA chip.
Not NSA. KGB, son.
KGB.
The Russians are coming after you.
That's right. Alexa, she takes care of me. What are they going to do? Mess with what time I get up in the morning?
Yes, that's how it starts.
They modify the news, right? They don't say anything good about the U.S.
They're like, go to the gulag now. Turn left at gulag.
Turn left at gulag.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're going to go there. It's going to be like all dudes with like no shirt riding horses. It's going to be fucked up.
Sounds awesome.
All right.
Already got my season pass.
So next is the Bloody Mary or Bloody Caesar. Now, you know what? I respect it. People, I had a conversation with somebody earlier before this podcast, and she was saying, oh, I love them. You know, why don't you like, did you try them this way? Did you try them that way?
Hmm.
And I told her the story of how Brian and I went through, it was at least two different Bloody Mary tastings.
Oof.
Where they give you 6 to 7 to 8 different Bloody Marys made different ways,
mm-hmm.
very well, very excellent made, very crafted Bloody Marys. And him and I were looking at each other both times saying, this is a whole lot of cup of stuff that I just do not want to drink.
It's just like ketchup and ass on the rocks.
It was one after the other. I'm like, ugh. No, I don't like this. I don't like this. Wow, this really sucks. So for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, we're like trying to eat and drink these Bloody Marys, and it was just like, it was the people we were with, like Andrea, and I was with my ex, like it was great.
They loved them, yeah.
Because they're like, great, I get to drink yours too. I was
mm-hmm.
like, all right, it's fine with me.
It's like, can I have your burger?
Exactly. So yeah, I just don't like the, I don't know.
People love them. I mean, so, we've seen ones too where, I mean, they come out and they're works of art. They got the bacon in there, the scrimp. They got all kinds of like olives and...
It is like a burger. And some people get jazzed about
like
how much you get on there. It's like a meal and a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have Bloody Mary bars where like, you know, people have to put the little burger on it and they put the bacon and it's great to dress it up. But like the drink itself, not a big fan.
Seems like a lot of nonsense.
Yeah. And they call it a Bloody Caesar in Canada. I guess that's where it started, apparently, from what we looked up years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And here they call it Bloody Mary. I don't know why the difference. There's some history to it, but
yeah,
it's drunk history.
So. Drunk history. And another one of your favorites there, right below there, the Moscow Mule.
Love the Mule.
Yeah, I'd never heard of the Mule until we were in Telluride. That was the first time I ever encountered it.
Thanks, Tom. I've had them before, but like they never came back, and our buddy Tom was drinking, and that started the whole Mule chain, and then I think we started everybody else drinking Mules again. Just saying.
You know, I think it was last summer you could see where the Mule phenomenon was jumping the shark, because that's when you saw people stealing the copper cups.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that...
Ghetto. It's all ghetto.
Don't these people have any shame? Like, don't they just feel like
shame.
Assholes?
Shame.
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 Just bop them in the head with the copper cup. Shame.
Just shame. And just hit the cup as they go.
Like, I just... Really, you're going to steal the cup? Now, again, I'm not a choir boy. I'm not a saint. I may have stolen a Samuel Adams pint glass because a place charged me a cover charge that I felt was unfair. But to be like, I saw someone like in their 40s, like a grown-up, like an adult, tell his wife to put the cups in her purse.
Shut up. Put the cup in your goddamn purse.
I'm going to fucking slap you over the head. Put the cups in your purse.
What the fuck are you going to look at me for? Put the goddamn cup in your purse.
Ugh. Just gross. So.
Anyway, mules are great. And you know who's come out big and the big winner out of the mules?
Vladimir Putin.
Goslings.
Oh.
And they're our buddies. We went to the America's Cup. We had a whole Goslings afternoon. That was great.
Because they're the ginger beer part of the mule.
They make probably one of the best ginger beers on the market.
They do.
I got to say, there's two that I love. There's Reed's and Goslings. And Goslings.
Reed's is the fancy one, right?
Reed's is a little spicier. I like I like it sometimes. Goslings is real good. Mm-hmm. I like them both.
Yeah.
I like them both. But I tell you what, they hooked us up. Goslings.
They did. That was a sweet event. Yeah.
Had a little... they didn't do Bermuda Triangles. They did Swizzles, the rum Swizzles.
Oh, God. Those were...
Those are another, like the Goombay Smash. They're very similar to Goombay Smash.
Yeah.
And you drink them, and you're like, you don't think you're drinking anything.
Like, how much rum is in here?
There's nothing in here. And then you're just like,
five of those.
Andrea was fucking wiped out.
Yep.
She was like, I just drank a few of these. And then when she starts giggling, I'm like, oh, shit, she's drunk.
Yeah, she goes from together to giggly real quick.
But she's a happy drunk, which is good.
She is, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, those were good, though. That's why we needed to drink, like, how much coffee did we get after that just to get functional again?
It was surreal because we're going to get the coffee, and we're walking through a color run that just finished.
That crazy Indian party that was going on.
And there's color everywhere. People with paint shit on them.
We're like, what is going on?
What is this?
Yeah.
It was weird. And then, you know, I'm putting it on the list because this has become a favorite as of recent, and I could see this for Opry, a nice old-fashioned.
Old fashioned.
With a nice little bourbon in there, nice little old fashioned. And then if anybody's looked at our Instagram, we had the smoked old fashioned, which I think we're going to have to do that. We might burn down the ski house, but we're going to do it.
All in the name of science.
Exactly.
And podcasting.
And Opry ski.
It's got to be done.
It's all on the table.
Yeah. And then there's the old fashioned, not the old fashioned, but the old fashioned beer.
Yes.
Beer is just the classic après-ski drink. It's always welcome. It always has a place.
Usually the first selection.
Few things taste quite as good as that post-skiing beer.
Yeah.
You
know? Nice Corona or Bud Light?
Oh, PBR.
PBR.
All day, bro.
PBR.
Yeah. I'm hoping that some places up in Vermont have that citrus limbo.
Yes.
On draft.
Well, we know we'll have to go to the brewery. They're going to have
it. It's true. LT. It's right there.
Let's get a growler. Growler. We got to start using the
Camelback.
Growler. Camelback growler.
Camelback growler.
You could drive with that.
Totally, right?
Just saying.
Yeah.
We got to start using the growlers more.
Oh, yeah. We have 30 of them.
We have too many growlers, and they're used.
They're empty.
And they're too empty.
They're empty.
Yeah. Hill Farmstead, it's great to bring every growler, anything that can hold liquid. When you go up to Hill Farmstead and like, can you fill this?
I can't believe when we were up there, there was that one numbnuts with like six growlers without tops.
He's like, you brought growlers without tops.
He's like, dude, what are you going to do? Like, just keep them in your car?
Are you drinking them on the way home?
You want six straws for your six growlers?
Yeah. I got growlers, but you don't have anything to cover them up with.
Numbnuts.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that about wraps up the topic for the week. If you guys have any other cool tips or you know, après drinks that you like to have after your day of skiing and boarding.
Well, one more. We did find in a book Bloody Rosemary.
Ooh.
So since we don't like Bloody Marys, this is like a Bloody Rosemary. So they're saying...
It's like a flesh wound.
It's like a flesh wound.
It's not really bleeding.
Blood orange, rosemary. Yeah, you could drop the rosemary if you don't want it. Gin. So they're saying Jensen's Old Tom, a floral gin. Blood orange liqueur, rosemary syrup. That's a lot to make. Fresh squeezed lemon, fresh squeezed blood orange juice, and 3 dashes of peach bitters. Now,
it's a work.
Great recipe, and this is a great book, but a lot of these recipes are like, how are you going to get peach bitters? I have a hard time finding bitters as it is. Like peach bitters? I don't think they make that.
Standard bitters are pretty easy to find, but
they don't make it at the bodega that I shop.
You got to make your own bitters.
But then there's like caipirinhas and freaking mojitos. Like, there's tons of stuff. And like you said, the good old-fashioned standard, good beer.
Good beer.
Good beer.
The best.
Good tap. Clean tap. Nice beer. That works.
Indeed. So, yeah, if you guys have any other recommendations, suggestions, favorites, hit us up, skibumpodcast@gmail.com or any of our social media outlets, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast, or on Pinterest at the Highfalutins.
Yeah. Snow.
There it is, time under the ropes. And we've got some interesting stories this week. I actually really like the stories this week. Some weeks, last week there was probably a little too much weed talk.
We go back and forth. It was
there was a lot of topical news. A lot of stuff was happening after the election. It was topical. Things were going down. Yeah. But
it was
this
topical weed.
Ooh, topical cream.
Oh, topical weed cream.
So this past week, Cuban autocrat Fidel Castro died. And, you know, the news was going out. A lot of people were very happy. One person who did not seem that happy based on their statement was Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who praised Castro for his leadership while barely alluding to the various human rights infractions and that characterized a long and sometimes brutal dictatorship. So being the smart-ass, hysterical, asshole... collection that is Twitter, they came up with the hashtag Trudeau eulogies, and
pretty funny.
A couple of them are pretty funny. My favorite one, I think, is this one. While controversial, Darth Vader achieved great heights in space construction and played a formative role in his son's life. Hashtag Trudeau eulogies.
Oh, that's awesome.
And there was another one. Osama bin Laden, while certainly a controversial figure, but his contribution to airport security is unparalleled. Hashtag Trudeau eulogies.
They go on and on, man.
There's like 20 some of them that are like, you know, highlights.
Today we mourn the loss of Norman Bates, a family man who is truly defined by his devotion to his mother.
It's harsh.
Today we remember Pablo Escobar's advances in spurring youth interest in pharmacology.
Nothing about... his sweater game being strong?
Yes, he's strong sweater game. Oh. Yeah, they go on and on. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. You can either search hashtag Trudeau eulogies or this is from Pace Magazine, and we'll have the link up on the site.
It just goes to show you, like, when you're a public figure, Twitter's going to grab that and just run with it. So
we look at our president. He's a big fan of the Twitter.
We have a lot that's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Trump is already, he's making news on Twitter, which is pretty funny. Anyway, so Nick, we have Nick Offerman. If anybody doesn't know him, he plays the burly guy in Parks and Rec, the kind of the frumpy, you know, no laugh, no bullshit guy. He's pretty funny. He's kind of a dry humor, and he played on Parks and Rec with Chris Pratt. So he's coming out with a new book called Good, Clean, Fun. And part of the book that they're coming out with has a homoerotic Chris Pratt comic in it. So they have a lot of fun with it. And it's about him and a friend, I think, chopping down a tree. And it's like, oh, let me put on sunscreen. Make sure you're all suited up. And they're taking off their shirts. And it's just pretty funny. And Chris Pratt went along with it. And I guess they have good fun with it, especially for the characters that they played in Parks and Rec. Mm-hmm. It plays on that. So it's just kind of pretty funny.
Well, that was Fat Chris Pratt back in the day, right?
Fat Pratt, yeah.
Fat Pratt, yeah.
And then he got his big movie and changed his whole career.
That's the way to do it, yeah.
Guardians, right?
Yeah.
Which I still have not seen.
Really?
I don't know why I haven't seen
it. It's actually really good.
Yeah. It's on my list to see, but I never think about it now.
Yeah, it's very good. All right. So another boozy tale this week. So yeah, one week it's weed, the next week it's booze.
Boozing it up.
Jesus. Friggin' degenerate podcast here.
You get the our vices.
Yeah. This story was really cool. You know, we get a lot of our stories from Vice, and this one was from munchies.vice.com, which is their, you know, food and drink blog version of their site. And I love this. I actually read this whole article and was like, you know, it's kind of like a story in a way, this whole article, the way it goes through it. And it's, you know, kind of like, for me, I was like the edge of my seat listening to it. It was really cool. So this is about the 30-year quest to recreate James Bond's original Vesper Martini. So from the original Casino Royale book in 1958, Vesper Martini is 3 measures of Gordon's, 1 of vodka, 1/2 a measure of Kina Lillet, shake it very well until it's ice cold, and then add a large thin slice of lemon peel. That's the recipe.
Hmm.
And then in the Casino Royale, the new movie with Daniel Craig in 2006, he orders the Vesper Martini. And what this author did is he actually went out and searched talked to a master distiller and was trying to recreate this drink. And one thing that he talked about is that the Kina Lillet, or I don't know if it's pronounced Lillet.
Probably, oh, it's Lillet, yeah.
It's Lillet? Okay. Is that this Kina Lillet was a French wine-based aperitif that first appeared in 1887. It's an aromatized wine which is fortified by adding liqueurs to it and then left to age in a barrel for several months. The problem is the folks who make it, which I guess is Lillet, they changed the recipe in 1986. So that original recipe, that original formula has changed. That's like if you were like, I want a rum and Coke. Okay. It's like 1985, and you're like, I like Coca-Cola Classic with my rum, and now I got this new Coke nonsense,
the new Coke.
It just changes everything. It's like not the same. So the author, you know, the guy, he's talking to this this distiller, and they go on this quest to find a bottle of the Kina Lillet.
Wow.
And what he was saying is that one of the recipes that changed was that it's not made from Peruvian quinine, which is the same stuff that's in tonic water.
Yeah, quinine is tonic, yeah.
Yeah, and it reformulated it to make it less bitter. And so the article kind of goes on and on and talks about how a lot of it oxidized, a lot of the old recipe, and turned black.
Mm.
So this alteration was changed to make it more stable so that wouldn't happen, it wouldn't oxidize, and it wouldn't turn black. So this guy actually found 7 bottles of the old Kina Lillet.
Wow.
And bought them. And they don't mention the price of what he paid. Again, I have no idea what a bottle would cost.
Somebody covered
it. But he said it was reasonable. Huh. Yeah. And he, you know, shared it, you know, with some friends, and they were making these Vesper Martinis.
Nice.
And then he talks about how the Vesper isn't actually a martini, because a martini is made with vermouth.
Right.
Vermouth is made of bitter wormwood, where Kina is made from quinine. All right, not a big deal, whatever. And then he's like, you know what? This drink might actually be kind of gross. And as it turns out, Ian Fleming, the author of James Bond and all the stories, there was an article in the Manchester Guardian talking about, you know, name dropping in his stories, the James Bond stories. And the author penned this response: to create an illusion of depth, I had to fit Bond out with some theatrical props. And while I kept his wardrobe as discreet as his personality, I did equip him with a distinctive gun. And though they are a security hazard, distinctive cigarettes. This latter touch, unfortunately, went to my head. I proceeded to invent a cocktail for Bond, which I sampled several months later and found unpalatable. So Ian Fleming,
he just thought about it.
He just kind of like threw a couple things together and, you know, made it a drink and a signature drink, and people are going to create it. And he actually thought it was kind of gross.
That's actually a good joke to play on people, right?
Isn't that great? Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's the most luxurious vodka I've ever had. It's delicious. I love it.
Now, I made him after Casino Royale came out, the new one.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm going to make it. Go out and get the Lillet. I think I have some Lillet in there. And,
but it's a different kind. It's not the Kina.
Different kind. Yeah. And it's not bad. It's still not...
It's very boozy.
Not great. It's still... I mean, martini's all booze anyway.
It's, but, yeah, it's very boozy.
It's all right. It's just... That's pretty cool. I like
and
that.
They actually said cocktails because Gordon's has changed their recipe too. So they had to use a Portobello Road gin, which is closer to the original strength.
That's wild, so, right? So yeah, everybody's changing really, their recipe. You don't realize that
things,
you know,
yeah,
two things in one cocktail. That's a whole different cocktail.
Completely different.
One thing's bad enough, but two things, it's you can't even recreate it.
And they did the old and the new, and they said that the old was definitely the best way. Wow. So the Vesper Martini, if you can somehow find a bottle of that Kina Lillet and it hasn't been oxidized, make yourself a Vesper Martini because it's not going to be getting any easier to make it.
Going to have to go on eBay.
Yeah.
It's got to be at Amazon next day.
They got it all.
Yeah, Prime it. Prime that shit. All right, so... we go from Great Britain to Kansas. So Kansas police had reports about a mountain lion. They decided to set up cameras to catch the mountain lion. So what they got instead was... okay, so this is going to the town of Gardner. The Gardner Police Department set up cameras around Celebration Park. So, you know, residents reporting a mountain lion, mountain lion sighting. And they're like, you know, we got to confirm it and then so we could try to catch it or whatever and just get away from the people. So when they looked at the footage, they set up the camera and they set up two trail cameras. They set them up. And when they looked at the footage the next day, they found image of jokesters dressed up as gorillas, coyotes, dogs. And authorities said they put it into Facebook. You know, authorities posted to Facebook on Monday the images, which is pretty funny. So if you go into the link that we have.
Yeah, you got to check out, for this story and the next one, you got to check out the links because the picture is really, like this picture is so creepy.
And this is on people.com and they actually have, it's funny because, I think it looks funnier because it's like the night vision camera.
Yeah, it definitely makes it look way creepier.
And it looks a lot creepier. So the image of like the gorilla is like, what the hell is that?
It's like a white gorilla with like a black face and chest. It's
crazy.
And crazy ass smile.
And they have like a coyote dog werewolf thing and it's a girl and she's like wearing high heels. It's pretty funny. They're all dressed up. Yeah. So it's pretty funny. And, you know, the good part of it, too, is the cops laughed about it. And they were like, oh, it's pretty funny because nobody broke any laws. They were just messing around with the police. And they took it with a – they actually said it was good to see that the residents had a good sense of humor. And they went through the effort to give them a laugh, you know. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Oh, my God. You see like, one, like, legitimate, like, wolf picture.
Yeah.
And like, oh, there's a wolf. And it's like some weird,
like, what the hell is that?
Dog face person.
You know, you take a dude second like, look.
There's like some dude in like camo, like that weird like leafy camo.
Oh, it's funny. You know, they're looking at it and they're like taking a second look. What is that? Holy crap.
The skunk, a dude with like a,
They said they're glad that the footage didn't have a mountain lion because it probably would have eaten somebody.
Yeah, right. Oh, imagine they were like trolling the camera and like doing this, and like all of a sudden the mountain lion like jacks one of them.
You see,
oh God,
that person that's dressed up as like the werewolf is like rolling on the ground. The mountain lion's eating him.
Oh, what a terrible way to go.
This was a bad idea.
Last thoughts. That's not cute. Good. All right. And another, like I just said before, another one you really need to see the pictures to appreciate. This is from highsnobbery.com.
I love this.
The Italian sky pool is freakishly calming yet terrifying.
Oh, that's awesome.
And this is from the Hotel Hubertus, which is a famous skiing and hiking area in Kronplatz, northern Italy. And what they created was this pool slash, it's like an infinity pool. But it's like on stilts, and there is a glass bottom.
It's like a full circle infinity pool, too.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you look at the scenery, and it is gorgeous. I mean, it's rolling hills and farmland.
It's like three sides infinity pool.
Yeah, but
and
like
then you're just out there.
It sticks out. Yeah, it's almost like a giant diving board that the pool lives in. And it has that glass bottom, and you're just looking out, and you see mountains and trees and plains. It's unbelievable. And again, my description does nothing to give you the proper context of what it looks like.
Well, and what's funny, like when you look at it from below, they have pictures. They actually have like big tree posts holding it up.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's just this big plank that's held up by trees. Mm-hmm. And it looks pretty fragile if you're under it.
Yeah.
And it's like a stone bottom and stuff. So you're like, that's probably a lot of weight for this thing to hold.
They don't actually show the other side of it, do they? They show like where it ends, but they don't show where it begins.
Yeah. And they show the end is glass too. Mm-hmm. So like you're swimming and it's like you end up on glass. I'm like,
and you can look down to the ground.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's pretty baller.
Beautiful work.
Wow, I can't stop looking at this thing.
I know.
Wait, why isn't this not? Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And then on the site, they actually have that other place.
Oh, that giant cube with the second floor. That's an entire pool.
Villa Clesidra, where the entire second floor is a pool. And if you look at the place, it's weird. Also on high snobiety, it's the weirdest building. It's like a postmodern looking cube.
It looks like something made in like Russia.
Yeah. And they show, where is this? This is also Villa Clesidra, and they're saying it's a Singapore villa. So it's in Singapore, of all places, which is, wow. But they show pictures of it, and it's phenomenal. They have, of course, they have a beautiful old car in the garage.
It's an old Jaguar.
Old Jaguar. And it's weird. Like, you look from the outside, and the second floor is just all water. And the third floor and fourth floor is fine. And then you walk in, and there's, like, water on the floor. Like, there's, like, a running river almost. And then you look up, and it's a glass ceiling. So you're looking up at the pool. And then they have pictures of the pool area, and it's, like, it's all water on that floor. But yet there's stairs going down and stairs going up. It's just, it's like an optical illusion. It's crazy. And then on the floor,
it's like an M.C. Escher painting.
Yes.
Where like you don't know what direction things are going and what your perspective is all thrown off.
Yeah. And where the stairs are, there's like a little pad there. And then everything around it is the pool and water. And it's crazy. And they show like the view from above where somebody's swimming in the pool. And below is the garage with the car. And then they show from below and the person's like above them swimming around. It's pretty wild. Pretty freaky. High snobbery. Like that.
I thought it was high snobbery.
High snobbery.
I can't read.
High something.
High snow something.
Not high flute and ski bones.
After I saw snow, I just thought the rest of the letters just kind of melt away for me.
It's kind of high falutin, so that works.
All right, you want to finish this one up?
Last but not least, we have word is coming out. McDonald's has a secret gold card which gets you free food for life. Now, there's a lot of people looking to get one of these. Now, if you're a regular McDonald's customer, you might be wondering how to get one of these. You actually have to be connected or have some clout to get one.
You got to know a guy.
And this kind of follows like other companies that have these special cards. So Nando's, which is a big food place in the UK, they have a black card which is held by celebs and they get free food. And then Burger King actually has a Crown Club card, which I had no idea about, and that I guess gives you free food too. But the McDonald's Gold Card, the reason this became popped up in recent news is because on Jimmy Kimmel, he interviewed Rob Lowe, who has one of these.
Hmm.
So he was interviewing, and Brian and I watched the video, and it was a pretty good interview. It was pretty funny, just, you know, a few minutes. And Rob Lowe actually has a friend whose father was one of the original franchisees that the guy invented the Egg McMuffin. And he...
Super legit.
He got him a gold card. And it's funny because, you know, they were joking. Like, if you show one of these, like, nobody's going to know what it is. They're like, what is this? You want free food?
It's like your third day on the job. You're like, what is this?
What is this, dude? You mean you want this food? You just want to walk out and show this card? Like, yeah. I can't do that. So it's pretty funny.
I think I would eat like 9 McGriddles if I had that card.
Well, if it goes to... If we're on Fat Fuck Friday, we'll go out and just, like, all right, just keep eating. You know? I think we'd make like six trips, get ice cream shakes, ice cream. They have ice cream, right? Low fat.
They have some sort of like shake thing, yeah.
They have shakes. Mm-hmm. You get shakes.
But I think like McGriddles, like now that breakfast is all day.
How about like a shake McGriddle? You make your own stuff.
Well, I just dip the McGriddle in the shake. Or you could blend the McGriddle into a
McGangbang shake.
The McGangbang, yes.
Yeah, so
that's a lot of McDonald's that you can wolf down with that card.
That would lead to a super fat fuck Friday.
Oh yeah. That's definitely diabetes right there.
Diabetes.
It's your free diabetes card.
But apparently there's like people like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett has one. Like, I guess they give it to people so that they go to their restaurant and they say, oh, yeah, so, you know, Warren Buffett and McDonald's.
The richest people who don't need it are the ones who get it.
I'm sure Warren Buffett makes every use out of that.
He wolfs down Big Macs, yeah. He loves them.
If it's free, he's a frugal man.
He is.
Sure, he's like, I'm getting my value out of this.
The guy doesn't have a beach house. What the hell's wrong with you? Why would you be a billionaire and not have, like, a beach house and a ski house?
Exactly.
He should have villas.
Should have them.
He's doing it wrong. Wasted. All squandering wrong. It.
You can't take it with you when you go. That's what I'm saying.
He's going soon.
He hasn't learned it yet. Like, you gotta be... Make it rain.
Spread that paper.
Making it rain.
Yep.
He can make it rain Egg McMuffins.
That would be a pretty cool publicity stunt.
Just make it rain Egg McMuffins.
Just like open the back of like one of those C-5 cargo planes. Just dump out pallets full of Egg McMuffins.
He's got to be there doing the make it rain like hand gesture.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm making it rain.
Pushing them out. Pallets of Egg McMuffins out the back of a big old cargo plane.
Right over like Ethiopia,
Yeah, helping people out.
Yeah. After like a hurricane, just help people out.
Lands in the sand. They're like, I can't eat it. There's sand on it. It's like, really? That's your biggest problem is the sand?
Yeah, it's kind of the homeless guy in La Jolla that's mm-hmm. like, hey, can I trouble you for some help with my college tuition? It's like, you're not asking for food?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have crazy. Crazy stuff, man.
That's right. Well, that about wraps up the old podcast this week.
Yeah, so this week you're going to be skiing.
Getting my turns in.
That should be good. I'm going to be not skiing yet.
You're recovering from Florida still.
I'm pre-skiing.
Pre-skiing.
Pre-skiing. Yeah, I got to make plans. I got to do a lot of plans. A
lot of plans.
TSA pre-check.
There you go. Make it happen.
Going to do some of that.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. You can check out all of our information, SkiBumPodcast.com. Check us out on social media, Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast, Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast, Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast. Check us out on Pinterest as Highfalutins. And please go to your favorite podcast app and rate us and subscribe. We would really appreciate it. And with that,
write us,
SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again, guys, for listening. We really do appreciate it.
Stay high, stay fluting.
See ya.